Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In about not having another fucking microphone and blah blah blah. No. I was like, I'll just put Skype on the phone. Couldn't remember my password to Skype because I'm always logged into Skype. But it's so easy to like get into anybody's account if you have their email, because they'll just be like, we'll send you an email with this one time code. Okay.
I mean, if you have access to the email, yeah.
Right.
Like my Skype account is linked to some weird email that Windows made me set up. It's like a live.com email that I never use for anything ever.
Well, it's a Microsoft account. Yeah. It's like some Microsoft account that I created a million years ago.
That they force you to make.
Right. And then I started going through the Rolodex of passwords, and I don't know how far back it was when I created the Skype account. So like, I don't know. But yeah, so I got in, wanted to make sure it worked, and then, son of a bitch.
And to the average listener out there, because this is being recorded, I hate whenever anybody forces anybody to do anything.
It's true.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And the great DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome!
So I just saw the dumbest tweet ever.
We're gonna start there.
We're gonna start there. Dumbest tweet ever.
Okay.
I think that I actually follow this person.
Do I need to get on the Twitter?
Nah, not for this.
Do I need to check this out?
Nah, I'll just read it to you.
Okay.
Would you let Walter is a big Austrian guy, Patrick O'Dowd, who wrestles in NXT.
I know of Walter.
I know. This is the joke though. Whenever it's NXT, we always tell you. NXT 2.0, excuse me. Would you let Walter chop slap you for $1 million? He's not going to kill you. Like,
yeah, no.
Like, I'd probably do it for like $150. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, even if you have to go to the hospital, like, that's the worst of it. Okay. Even if you suffer a concussion. And I can't imagine that happening.
$1 million.
Right, like the number is way too high on that. Like literally, you should be asking people like 500 if you want to get yes and no answers. Like, and I'm sure there's some idiot AEW fan who's like, no way. Look at this person. Would it be tax free?
There's been a lot of dumb tweets lately too, man.
Because like, I'd rather not have to declare it. Now that person put a laughing emoji next to it, so I'll give them credit for that. But now, honestly, most people are smart about it. Like I love this person. I'd let him slap me and probably come back and take a second one.
Right. Do you get another million?
$1 million per chop, or just $1 million regardless of the amount? I'd still have about $500,000 after medical bills. But again, these are people purposely being funny.
Right.
Because, you know, if you put a laughing emoji in there, then you do. My favorite emoji lately has been the clown emoji. Because that's – I'm going to make a shirt. Because I've been using this phrase online, on Twitter, Instagram, I think even Facebook, and at work and in regular conversation. My new favorite phrase is buncha, B-U-N-C-H-A, buncha clowns. Because that's what a lot of these idiots are. Like I have been a part of so many clown shows recently. And we're going to talk about a clown show during this. We've somewhat discussed our topics for today, audience, but we really haven't.
Yeah, loosely.
But we've got – because then there's this lawsuit I want to talk to you about that I just found out about a little while ago. MLW is suing WWE. We're going to talk about that. We are going to talk. That is going to be a no one gets out alive moment, Patrick O'Dowd, when we talk
about.
Good,
because I don't even know what the lawsuit is about. This is breaking news.
You know, I hate when people read like an entire release in an email. They issued a press release about suing WWE, okay? Bunch of clowns. I'm going to find fucking clown music. And, I'm just yelling.
We're going to play,
There's some sound bites I want to get. I got to ask Miranda because there's like two she wants me to get and I can't remember. One is cowboy shit and I'll get that one. But let's see here. Circus clown music. I'm not on YouTube, everyone. I'm not on YouTube.
Not on YouTube.
Let's see here. You know, I mean, I could go for the Doink the Clown theme song. I feel like there's a better version of that, though, Patrick O'Dowd. Don't you feel like that's not like the legit clown music?
No, I think there's got to be a better version out there.
Get your personal points, clown. I'm James Corden, and I'm here to tell people that
Weight Watchers, go lose some weight, everybody. It improve your life. Trust me. Skip ad. I'm not on YouTube. It's really short, though.
Yeah, that was quick. That was like.
And they kind of left out the best part. Like the do 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 do. Like that's a good part of the song. Let's do this. Doink the Clown theme. Babyface. I'm not even talking. I should be talking. Let's see here. Here we go. Oh, yeah. This is it. It's a little slow, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it varies from...
It does.
I guess...
We are analyzing circus clowns this week on the Greg DeMarco Show. Turn that down. Just a bunch of clowns. And my life, like I said, lately has been a clown show. And I'm,
I mean, I guess I'm a little disappointed we've gone this far and we haven't played the greatest clown music of all time.
What's that?
The original Doink the Clown music.
That's what this is. This is the Babyface Doink the Clown music. No.
We need the. That's not the original Doink the Clown music.
That one?
Because you've already said there's something sinister going on with you with this, like that you're going to let. Like, this feels more like let people have it. Love the creepy laugh in the background. Right? God, this was still the most genius gimmick ever.
It really was. What's his other
one?
The same one? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Just worse quality. All right, we'll go back to the other one. Okay, so anyway. I'm going to stop that because we're not doing anything nefarious while on air. I promise. Right. All right. Yeah, we're going to talk about some clowns in MLW doing some stupid stuff. And, like, you know nothing about it, so don't go looking because I'll let you, discover that. By the way, if you're listening, this is the Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco. His name is Patrick O'Dowd. I'm at Chairshot Greg. He is at Wrestling Realist, which did a great job on the IWC Impromptu Wrestling Convo. That was the best Wrestling Realist Twitter handle you've ever done in like the eight or so years.
I did it for you, man.
You did it for The Rock.
I did it for the DeMarco.
You did great. You did great. WrestlingRealist, because like I said last week, there's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist, and there is one in Patrick, and there is one in COVID for the COVID having Wrestling Realist Patrick O'Dowd, although no longer with the COVID. You've beaten the COVID.
I know. It's funny. They're so overwhelmed right now with like the isolation and quarantine stuff at my job that I got called today to confirm that I could leave isolation yesterday. So they just kind of let me go to work for a day without checking. but then we're like, yep. And I'm like, cool, I came to work. So
here I am.
Thanks.
Here I am. Get on my own.
So, yeah, good times.
Let's see.
That's but, a big file. All right, yeah. So,
oops. Did not mean to do that. So, yeah. So that's Patrick O'Dowd. I'm Greg DeMarco. Greg DeMarco Show. Miranda Morales is off this week. She's not on assignment because, you know, I think that's stupid. She had to work late. And she had to work 2 hours away from her house. So there you go. That's what happens when you move to Tucson to Phoenix, but still have to work in Tucson for a little bit. These things can happen. Moral of the story, Patrick O'Dowd, never live in Tucson. That's just the fucking moral of the story.
Yeah, right.
Never live or work or go to college in Tucson. All things Miranda Morales has done within the last couple of months. So anyway, she'll be back next week. I will have something up in place of the hashtag Miranda Show as well. So we're gonna jump in, do a couple of different things. Chairshot.com, at Chairshot Media, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, like, subscribe, be a friend, tell a friend. And then all of you and your friends leave us a 5-star review. Go to chairshot.com, follow the website. I've been writing some stuff lately, so check those out. I even did a really way too early predictions of the matches at WrestleMania 38. I even got some messages about that. So you always know it's good when you get the messages about the things that you write. Lots of good, such good shit going on. Patrick, let's just dive into the biggest thing that shook the world over the last week. Shook the earth to its core when during Friday Night SmackDown, or as Pat McAfee would say, Friday Night SmackDown, they were just randomly going through a graphic during a Charlotte Flair promo, just going through a graphic of entrance into the 2022 Women's Royal Rumble match. And stuck in the middle was, and they were going through some old school stars, the Bella Twins, you know, big name. Yeah. Bella Twins are like the first ones. It's like, ooh, Bella Twins. Like, that's a big freaking deal. Then you got ones that people are going apeshit over for no reason, like Summer Rae and Kelly. Like, they've Michelle McCool, you have to put her over because, you know, she's Undertaker's wife, right? You got to do that.
Right.
And if not for the Bella Twins would have been the biggest news. And they're doing this to create a buzz, and that's really good, and it did create a buzz. Mickie freaking James was announced as
an entrant in
the Women's Royal Rumble match. And the best part about it, and this is the brilliance behind Michael Cole's decision to push for the WWE to bring in Pat McAfee. Because there's one guy who can get away with certain things, and that guy is Pat McAfee. And he literally says, like at the end of the promo or even like before Charlotte even starts talking, Impact Wrestling Knockouts champion Mickie James will be in the Royal Rumble, and you know she's got some garbage to sort out or something like that. Like, just absolutely brilliant by Pat McAfee. And I don't even know, like, I don't even know if he follows that closely. He'd even know, like just so brilliant of a thing to say. And here we are, Patrick O'Dowd. Mickie James, the Impact Wrestling Knockouts World Champion, as acknowledged Okay, there's only two things we acknowledge in WWE. We acknowledge Roman Reigns, yep, and apparently we acknowledge Mickie James as the Impact Wrestling Knockouts World Champion, because that's exactly what they called her on Twitter. Right. And here we are, and Mickie won at Hard to Kill, which was an obvious move after this announcement created so much buzz. Sorry, Deonna Purrazzo. Here, we'll give you a consolation prize of the Ring of Honor Women's Championship, which I'll talk about. Would have talked about with Miranda, but, you know, she had to go work in Tucson. and everybody just went nuts. And there's so many things that you have said and so many different things we can talk about with this. So I'll let you decide what direction you want to take it in, and what you think is most important to discuss about the announcement of Mickie James as the Impact Wrestling Knockouts World Champion being in the 2022 WWE Women's Royal Rumble match.
It's interesting to me, because we talked about it a little bit on, I've been on the network a lot, by the way, the last like 4 or 5 days. And so guested on DWI, and this came up on the DWI podcast. And the first thing I said when I saw this is, whether it was intentional or not, and we can talk about your speculation as to how Mickie James ended up on the show, because you put it out there in the Twitterverse. This is great for Impact. And I think that Impact is doing what they do in terms of just capitalizing on things. Like this isn't an uncommon behavior. But for some reason, this feels like one of their better efforts to kind of cash in on this and to really work with the buzz that it was given. I think the first thing I asked you was, you know, does she retain her title? And we both were like, probably. And you know, now there's speculation. You've straight up predicted it. You think that Mickie James is going to show up on a show at some point and get to defend her title against probably a lower tier member of the women's division.
Queen Zelina. Which makes perfect sense, because former Knockout, right. I think even former Knockout champion. Right. I have to look that up. I don't know.
So, yeah, it's just, to me, my first reaction, my still reaction is like, wow, this is kind of a no-lose situation for Impact. And the WWE loses, it's funny because I think people are so lost in archaic wrestling thinking, like to think that what, you know, the WWE even acknowledging the Impact Women's Champion is in some way, shape or form, like just taboo. Like they don't care. Like the Impact ain't going to mess with their business. All it does is help Mickie James and help Impact get a few more eyeballs, and good for them and good on Impact for doing that. And yeah, I think kudos to Pat McAfee for just opening that up, because then right after he did that, there was on the WWE social media, like on their, like the WWE Twitter account, you know, as you noted, calling her the Impact Women's World Champion or Knockouts World Champion, yep, or whatever.
Impact Knockouts World Champion. I don't think it's women. I think it's Impact Knockouts World Champion. Which they haven't even been calling her world champion all along, but they started doing it during Deonna Purrazzo's run. Deonna Purrazzo, by the way, we picked last week rather easily as the woman of the year because of the year she had.
Yeah, I listened.
Yeah, it's good shows. And I'm sure McAfee had to be like, tell Michael Cole, like, Michael, like, this is what I have to say. Like this is, right? This is, I'm sure he asked, like, Michael, like, this is what Pat McAfee would say right here. And Michael's probably like, you can get away with it, say it. And it was brilliant. But Impact, okay, here's the reason why. Impact has already gained more in the last 6 days, 5 days, depending on when you listen to this, from one little thing with WWE than they gained from the entire fiasco with AEW. And the reason why is because right now they're dealing with the ringleader. Previously, they were dealing with the bunch of clowns.
Right.
Because that's what, you know, that's what I believe. So here's the I'm going to go with what you alluded to, just to kind of get this out there, because I do think it's so worth talking about. And because everyone's going crazy, like WWE is showing AEW, you know, what truly is the forbidden door. Like, the WWE fans are going nuts over this. Like, absolutely crazy over this. And good for them. You know, it's fine. You can. But here's my thing. And I steadfastly believe what I'm about to say. And some people think that I'm stupid for thinking this, whatever. You know, people think I'm stupid anyway. So be it. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I honestly believe that when this suggestion was made, Vince McMahon had no idea that she was even with Impact Wrestling, let alone the Knockouts World Champion. Some people think agree with me. Some people think I'm crazy. Vince knows everything. I'm like, Scotty Too Hotty just said in an interview, he's been there since like 2014 as a trainer. He doesn't think Vince knew he worked there.
Right. I read that interview.
He literally has hundreds of employees. He's not going to know everything that's going on with everybody that even works for him. She doesn't even work for him.
Yeah.
And people think that.
Been released for a while.
Yeah. People think that, oh, of course Vince knows. No, he doesn't know. And what happened was Mickey might have even been his idea, because people don't realize, like, Vince, people, like, someone said, I think it was a Nick Khan idea. Nick Khan doesn't suggest wrestlers.
No.
Nick Khan looks at the money and says, Vince, we got to lay off 27 wrestlers. And then Vince and the team figure out who the wrestlers are. Now, there's also a possibility that Vince was like, we need some women for the Rumble. And somebody was like, well, what about Mickey? You know, she's doing the Impact thing. But I guarantee you, whether Vince came up with the idea or somebody else came up with the idea, Vince probably listed out a bunch of former divas and women in the company. Yeah. And Mickey was one of them. And somebody was probably like, you know, she's the Knockouts champion or the Impact. They probably said the Impact Women's champion. They probably didn't even know. And Vince was like, she is? She's on the other show? Fuck it, call her anyway. Like, because it's Impact Wrestling. They don't get in the way. They're not out there trying to compete. They're not out there cutting promos on things that WWE does. And
no, they really are just the little engine that could, doing their own thing.
They're staying in their lane.
Their show. And Scott DeBoer probably deserves a lot of that credit.
He is a fantastic executive. In fact, I would go so far as to say, if something were to happen with him in Impact Wrestling, would probably get hired by WWE at this point. I think he's done that good of a job. And I think he's going to end up with the company at some point. Like, that's Don Callis goes to AEW. Scott D'Amore goes to WWE. And we'll see him breaking up fights at some point on Raw 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Who knows? Or maybe he'll just be president of Impact Wrestling. Like, the dude is killing it. And this is
right.
Perfect proof of that. So great point by you, Patrick O'Dowd. Scott D'Amore deserves all the credit in the world, because he's getting, not just getting benefit, he's not being stupid and asking for Christian Cage to appear in exchange for Ric Flair at the Hall of Fame ceremony. He's using social media. He's making sure, you know, they keep the belt on her. They got McAfee to talk about it on the air. He talked about it on his show. Like she might even appear on the Pat McAfee show between now and the Royal Rumble. And I really believe, I'm pounding the table, I really believe Patrick O'Dowd, she's going to show up, probably, because Raw is a 3-hour show. SmackDown, 2 hours. It's sometimes four matches only. They get a women's segment or two. Like, SmackDown's tough landscape to crack. Okay? You can give her a segment of Raw, and then they'd probably give her a commercial break in a whole other segment. Like, they'd probably let the match go, and it'd probably be for the Knockouts Championship. And it'd be this surreal moment, because you'd have Corey Graves out there, who's like a notch below Pat McAfee because he's been with the company far longer and just knows what lines he can't cross. He would probably talk about the history involving Zelina Vega and Mickey James out there, both having worked for Impact Wrestling and all that. And meanwhile, the whole time, Scott D'Amore is just laughing, not even all the way to the bank, because not a bank thing, but all the way to the retweets, all the way to the mentions.
And if it gets them some new people following their product, then they have succeeded.
Like, it probably has already. Like, just in terms of buzz and credibility, this is already better than Kenny Omega burying your entire company. Rich Swann has never recovered. Never recovered. His career has peaked.
We saw where it was going. We all saw where it was going for Rich.
Literally, the first Kenny Omega appearance, Impact Security was like, you can't go out there because the world champion's in the bus. And Rich Swann's like, I'm the world champion. They're like, no, the AEW world champion, Kenny Omega. Like, Like buried their own champion on day one. Like it was a horrible idea. So bad that Don Callis is no longer even with the company. Like, that's how bad this was. And here we are now just praising them to all hell over the Mickie James situation. And I also love it. I absolutely love it. Right. I love that she jumped at the opportunity, that she wasn't like, no, they sent my stuff to me in a bag. Like, none of that stuff. Like, she literally.
No bitter bust.
She gets it.
Were you the one, by the way? Because I think, and we maybe
ones.
We'll talk
we,
about
we
this.
The ones, Patrick, down. We the ones.
Were you the one? Well, the other thing, before I get to that, the other thing I've really appreciated is that it seems like the WWE has let a couple people, like a couple of their own talent, even tweet about, like, lean into the fans' Forbidden Door shit. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, Cedric Alexander's tweeting about Forbidden Doors and walking through them, and you know, that's all like.
They don't control the they will tweet for talent or send them tweets to tweet out just promoting stuff for the company.
Right.
But the talent literally has Twitter on their phones. The talent has Twitter on their phones, and they're tweeting. Now, that's why sometimes somebody might tweet something and then it gets taken down. But that's, you know, a thing, and that's fine.
But where I was going here, though, is fans, this isn't going to be some amazing talent transactional thing.
No.
Because, like, it's great for the Royal Rumble because the Royal Rumble needs talent and people to show up. And that kind of segues into the other thing, because you had talked about men and talent that could go over there. And I don't think it was you that suggested it, but I think you liked the idea of Mickie's husband would be a terrific addition to show up and would be good for NWA.
Yeah, it would be good for NWA, and I would, and even with the WrestleVotes tweet teasing another, you know, a shocking Forbidden Door name, I think that's who he's talking about. I think he's talking about Nick Aldis, because
That'd be a great pick.
It would be a great pick, and they've only let the women main event the Royal Rumble once. That was the first time. So just assuming that the women's Rumble doesn't go on last, having Aldis then come out in the men's Rumble would be fantastic. I would love that idea. Plus, you could get some returns. You can get a lot of things. I just absolutely love that idea. Here's the thing that I think they learned from the whole AEW deal, right? Kenny Omega, when he appeared on Impact Wrestling, all his appearances, the ratings went down for Impact Wrestling.
Right.
Now, we talk about ratings and all the stupid stuff about him or whatever, but you wouldn't have expected him to plummet when an AEW star goes on there. Because even the Impact fans, it's a smaller fan base, they're diehards. They didn't want this.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want this at all.
Right.
Now, supposedly the pay-per-view drew bigger numbers or whatever, and that's fine. And plus, the fans realize, AEW fans realize they don't have to watch Impact. Like, they can see it on YouTube and whatever. So I'm sure Scott D'Amore this time is smart enough to not ask, hey, I need to have so-and-so appear on Impact. He realizes the more I can do on WWE television with my product, the better. And that's why I think he probably was like, look, can we get Mickie to defend the title on Raw? Like I'm probably wrong.
Even if it's the first hour opening match, I don't care.
It'd be like an hour two thing, right? Because first hour, they're going to push their own stuff, whatever. But it'd be like a random one-off hour two, like not even announced in advance, you know, until during the show. And it would create buzz and it would be fine. Because WWE, you know, they saw the buzz. That was about it.
Well, and if you do it in front of the Rumble, then you can create a story to tell about, oh, look, like, she has potential. Like, and you know, you're going to talk about Mickie's history anyway in the company, former Divas champion or whatever. She held the Divas belt or had it switched yet? I can't remember.
I think she held all. I think she held both.
Right. So you've got her former championship pedigree. You know, they talk about, you know, she was let go, but you know, she's making her way in Impact, and she could make some noise. What would it mean if a woman from another company won the Women's Royal Rumble? Like, that's an easy, and they don't even have to go that far, but they could, and it would help. It'd be good for Impact. You're laughing. What happened?
I looked up the Google Trends for Mickie James. Okay.
Yep.
And she peaked at 84 out of 100. All right, scale of 100, 84. Between April 25th and May 1st, 2021. I wonder what happened during that time frame. Her release from WWE and the trash bag incident, right? She spikes. Then she drops back down to 13. You know, her highest was 26 in July, probably around Slammiversary. She's now at 100. Okay, so she's at her highest peak for the last year. Okay, Mickie James, interest over time. Mm-hmm. All right, that's Google Trends. Okay, no one's dumb enough to think that that's not a That's not a thing, right? Okay, let's look up Impact Wrestling, all right?
Oh, dear.
Also spiked April 25th through May 1st. Spiked again in July. Spiked again in October around, you know, Bound for Glory. And now their highest ranking, 100, January 9th to January now, you know, to now, 2022. Again, all of this time encompassed what? Kenny Omega's run in the company. And mm-hmm. and the bigger spikes happened around their pay-per-views and when WWE talent came in. They're smart enough to know, like, this is the thing. And
yeah, WWE, they know where the bread is buttered.
And WWE's been doing the Forbidden Door thing a lot longer. They used NWA talent at the Royal Rumble in the 90s. They had the Rock and Roll Express wrestling, the new Midnight Express, Bodacious Bob and Bombastic Bart or whatever, and right. managed by Jim Cornette, you know, for the NWA World Tag Team Championships at points. And they've used, you know, Jushin Thunder Liger wrestled on a takeover before AEW was even a twinkle in the Young Bucks' eyes. Like, this is not new, but everyone thinks Tony Khan, which I'm now spelling C-O-N, invented the Forbidden Door, and he didn't. He just came up with a stupid phrase that already people hate. I've literally seen AEW accounts, like AEW fan accounts, be like, can we stop using the phrase Forbidden Door? Now that WWE fans are using it, they don't like it anymore, right?
Well, yeah.
Bunch of clowns that they are. That's what I'm going to call this episode. Man. Bunch of clowns. Like, that's literally clown what this is going to be called. Fucking clown show. This is the whole 3-minute version. So I gotta fade that. Like, I think it's great. I really do. I love it. I love where it's headed. People are like, Jay White's going to be in there. You know, I've seen so many suggestions for the Rumble. And that's the other thing. Like, these things aren't going to happen. Like maybe Nick Aldis, purely because he's married to her, purely because he's a guy that people have wanted to see. Now, WWE has had a good relationship with the NWA in the past, but this is the Billy Corgan-owned NWA. And there's really no connection to WWE since Dave Lagana got shit canned back because of, you know, he got Me Too'd. So it's you know, and deservedly so. And here we are. So I don't know if the relationship is there, but the relationship is there because they got Mickey's got Nick Aldis. Like, that's easy to do, right? Atlanta, not far from St. Louis. We can make the thing happen.
I said, do the thing.
Do the thing. Bring Nick Aldis in the Rumble. Here's the other thing I want to talk about before we go to a commercial break. A big piece of criticism that this has been given is that we're not having surprises in the Rumble because these things are being announced. What are your thoughts on that complaint? Is you know, that this is ruining the Rumble surprises?
I disagree with it. If for no other reason than what we're going through right now is evidence as to why it's a good idea to reveal the surprises early, because now you have a reason to, like, you have a hype train that you can build towards the event now, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, whatever, like, the surprises are kind of nice in the moment, and it's been a thing. And I don't know, have they announced all 30?
All three what?
All 30. Oh, all 30.
No, they have not announced all 30.
So it's not a done deal yet, and they probably will announce more because that's just what they do. People got to have that moment where they're like, I'm entering, and
yeah, and they declare and all that shit.
Right. Somebody's going to have to earn the last spot in. Like we got to do that.
Yeah. Like, even the year that I went to the Rumble, they gave the spot number 30 to the winners of the Mixed Match Challenge. And so even 30 right. wasn't a surprise. We already knew who it was going to be. And of course, that got changed around anyway because of injury to Lana and all that stuff. So, and it was all, you know, it all got changed anyway. And the big surprise was Becky Lynch entering the Rumble anyway and winning. But it's the surprises for me. Okay, you got to fill a stadium. And the buzz was not there coming out. You know, you got NFL, you got everything going on, right? So they announced these women. And if you're going to announce the Bella Twins and Lita and Mickey James for the Rumble, which she's a bigger announcement simply because she's, I don't know if you know, she's the Impact Knockouts World Champion. And And if you do that, then you might as well announce Summer Rae and Kelly Kelly, because they're not that big of a surprise if you already know the Bella Twins, Lita, and Mickey James are going to be in the match. So, and we've already, basically, we already have 20% of the match is these, you know, out of towners, so to speak, that they've announced. And you've already got, they're already doing the promos with Alexa Bliss now and her soon to be returned to Raw. So you can expect her in the Rumble.
Yep.
Who haven't we heard a peep out of though? Bayley.
Nope.
And here's the thing. Bayley's going to get a bigger pop than any of them if she shows up in the Rumble. So don't think they don't have any surprises in their back pocket like that they could throw out there. All right. They made announcements for the Rumble, you know, 2 years ago. And one name they didn't tell us was Edge. And here was Edge in the Rumble at number 21.
Yep.
AJ Styles back in 2016. Like, there's things they can do to still shock everybody in the Rumble despite making the announcement that they've made. And I'm going to write an article on it because there's a couple of men's entrants in the Rumble that I think might happen that are surprising but not surprising. But, yeah, it's a totally derailed conversation. But there's still surprises they can have, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For the Rumble, and that would be fun and enjoyable, in my opinion. So, still surprises that we could see for the Women's Rumble, just fine. But the whole thing, the announcements for the Rumble, Mickey James, Impact, all of it, 10 out of 10. Like, I think it's fantastic. I can't think of a negative aspect of it whatsoever. And kudos to them for doing it. And kudos for them for doing this. Just 2 days after laying off everybody's favorite people out of NXT. Like, if you really think about the timing, that was some really good timing. So we're going to go to commercial, and we're going to talk about that next here on The Greg DeMarco Show on the ChairShot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. It would help if I had the volume up on the sound bites before I started playing the sound bite.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
All right, we are back on the show. And what I want to do is, first off, I want to make sure you guys know about the t-shirts over at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And here's the cool thing about that, right? Even though she's not here, she can be here, talk about the t-shirts through the magic of technology.
It's time! Viva la raza!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the queen of soft style herself, Miranda Morales, co-host of Chairshot Radio and the host of the hashtag Miranda Show. And I'm here to tell you where you can find the best t-shirts around. Well, you can find them on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There you can find over 25 different styles, designs, and colors, all in support of thechairshot.com. Don't forget to pick up your Queen of Soft Style t-shirt, but also you can pick up the hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling, Baron Corbin Sucks, and the OG Chairshot t-shirt. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own t-shirt today. Again, that's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own Chairshot t-shirt. And
the doink music's becoming a thing. I love it.
I love the doink music.
So excited that we have not just playing it to play. We have a purpose for the doink music. That's even better.
It is. We have reasons.
So before all the hubbub about Mickie James, we had the hubbub around the releases in NXT. Scott Armstrong, The Road Dog, Ace Steel, Alice in Danger, who had just started there a few months ago and was released like on her kid's first day of school, whatever. We all heard the stories. Samoa Joe, and of course, everyone's favorite, and the one that people are complaining about the most. Damn it. I got to remember to turn the volume back up. After playing the Doink the Clown soundbar.
Games of War Games. Whoa. War Games.
No more.
War Games.
William Regal. Games. No longer with the company.
War Games is dead. You can no longer have War Games.
Well, he didn't even do the War Games bit for last year's War Games. So,
should've known
this was coming. That's what that answer.
Games. Of War Games! Whoa. War Games! War Games!
That last one's really good. Like there is nothing like William Regal. And people think act like William Regal invented the name War Games, like the way they're going nuts about him announcing it.
Right.
And now he's gone. Which is sad and all this. But I mean, dude, it's a lot of people gone from NXT.
Yes.
A lot of people, and Timothy Thatcher is gone. Danny Burch is gone. Only Lorcan, his tag team partner, was released before. They were working in a training capacity recently. So it's just all these people that are now, you know, suddenly gone from NXT, and it's a bunch. It's definitely a bunch. What are your thoughts?
It really is. It's a bunch. It's a bummer. Sure. For those, if you're a fan of what the creative, here's what I wrestle with. I'm sorry, as I'm trying to like put my words together.
It's okay.
It's like, it sucks because we like these people, like as fans, like, yes, I like William Regal. Yes. I like Samoa Joe, though. Somebody tell me what Samoa Joe was doing over the last year. Like really what he was doing. Yeah. And that's not even a knock on Joe, but like, right, wasn't really being used. But we keep hearing that NXT and the Performance Center, that is going in this different direction. And who are the people that are being let go? People that are part of the old direction. And I get the argument that, you know, if you can't find a use for William Regal, then what are you doing? And blah, blah, blah. Okay. But maybe they don't see that fit. And that's, that's the company's making that decision. And from what I've seen out of the new NXT, not that bad. Like, it's not bad at all.
I think NXT hasn't missed a step. Like, I've enjoyed it very much.
Right. So I understand if you know that you love these people and you're disappointed. I don't completely see the outrage, because I think that it's like, we've known that house cleaning was going to happen with this stuff. We knew that house cleaning was going to happen at this Performance Center level. We've seen the type of talent that's now being brought in to work at the Performance Center to hopefully get a contract and be the future. So it just feels like the direction they were going and the people they let go didn't match up with the direction that they're wanting to take. And
right,
that happens.
Yeah.
That happens.
And I've maintained ever since, like, 2 weeks after the NXT 2.0 started, if they did everything they did and just didn't change the colors in the arena, no one would even know. Like, yeah, they would realize that some talent is gone and new talent is coming in, and the talent went to the main roster. They would know that stuff, but they wouldn't realize that it's this whole new direction, because NXT has always been about the new talent and the younger talent. They'd be like, oh, wow, things have changed a whole lot, but it wouldn't be this hugely negative thing because we went from black and gold over to orange, purple, yellow, and blue. Like, it's you know, from heavy metal to splatter paint. Like, it's we made the changes, and you know, we went from poppy to down south, whatever. So it's, yeah, we made those changes, but if they didn't tell you it was new, you wouldn't be so up in arms over it being new. They shouldn't have hit everybody right over the head with it the way they did, but they did, right, for a reason. It's got to suck to be Triple H right now. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, he literally the one putting these people in place, and he had built this brand that he loved. And, I hate the internet sentiment sometimes, but the one internet sentiment that I can fully get behind is, I'd love to see Triple H go off and do his own thing. Yeah. If he were to cash in his stuff, he would have – Tony Khan started AEW with $100 million. Everybody's like, billionaire, billionaire, billionaire. No, his dad gave him $100 million to start AEW. That's it. He doesn't have Ted Turner unlimited checkbook money like people accuse Eric Bischoff of having, even though he had to work within a budget as well. Like, Tony Khan is not working off an infinite amount of money. He's working off of what his dad gave him. Triple H could probably cash in all of his WWE stock and have more than that to start,
yeah,
and start a company with. He's got a relationship with Full Sail. So in terms of production, in terms of arena, he could have all those things. He's the one who had a lot of the mainstream connections they were using in NXT. Like, he could put something out there very, very easily if he chose to. I wish he would. I get why he's not. Simple as that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. I feel for him because of all the changes that have been made. And it all happened kind of while he was on the shelf, like, you
right
know.
Yeah, it does suck. And here's the other thing, is I think that what's really interesting about this whole dynamic is that I think there's always been this assumption by people outside of the WWE that someday Grandpa Vince was going to ride off into the sunset and his son-in-law and his daughter were going to take over the reins of the company. And so when Triple H was running NXT and there was this model that he was putting out there, that was what people thought the transition was going to become.
Yeah.
And they were wrong. Hell, I'll even say that I was part of that group for a while. Like, oh, it's going to be Triple H's company.
Yeah.
Trips and Steps. Clearly that's, at least that's not entirely the case. And now I wonder if it ever was. So,
and I think it's because we all want, it's like we've always said about wrestling news, right? Why do people get behind certain bits of wrestling news? It's because they want it to be true.
We want it to be true.
And that's the same thing about Triple H. And I feel in that trap too. I would love for Triple H to take over the company. Like, because I love the product he put out there with NXT. It was long my favorite show. Now it's still up there. It's like tied with SmackDown as my favorite show right now. Like, I really enjoy both products. And I think the new NXT is great. And look, you're watching NXT right now. AJ Styles is wrestling on NXT. Matt Riddle was on it last week. Like they're doing things. And the rumor was that Jeff Hardy not left. Jeff Hardy would have been on there instead of Matt Riddle as the shaman that MSK went on their journey to find. So I don't know if that's true, because the whole thing's been about getting high, and that's all MSK was ever about, and that's all Matt Riddle's about. So it makes sense. Like, the Rascals literally had a treehouse they would get high in Impact Wrestling. And it worked for them because of Impact Wrestling. But Triple H being out there, it's here's what I can't wait for, because I truly believe it's going to happen. I truly believe at some point Triple H is going to show up in NXT 2.0. And I really hope he comes out here and he's just like, can't believe what y'all did with the place. Like, just some kind of funny comment, or pretending he's lost. He was like, yeah, I was looking for the black and gold place and I couldn't find it. Like, has anybody seen Poppy? Well,
and he's so meta with that stuff.
Like, oh, yeah.
I mean, God, I still remember after the Royal Rumble.
What they wanted. Oh, yeah.
Did somebody not get what they wanted? Aw. Because here's the other thing that I think people forgot about Triple H. For as much as they love what he did for NXT, he's been a company guy for 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 30 years.
Yeah.
So, if he goes, if he were to go, great, whatever. But I think I wouldn't be surprised either way. Because I think he also, again, he is the game. He knows the game. He knows how it works. He knows how the WWE works. I think as much as anybody. And that's the other thing I got to say about Regal and his departure, by the way. Classiest departure.
Oh, yeah. And Samoa Joe, too.
Because they understand how it works. And, yeah, they don't like that they lost their job. I'm not saying they're happy that they got let go. But they also know what the WWE gave them.
Right. Yeah.
And in Joe's case, twice. So
yeah, he was released and hired within a 48-hour period.
Right. And the other thing is most of those names that you listed off there, hell, all of those names are going to be probably okay.
Probably what?
Are going to be okay.
Oh yeah.
The talent. Yeah, the talent's going to have to find their way. Like the people who are wrestlers that are being let go and are going to have to probably work indies and, oh no, command more money because they were on WWE television. They're probably going to be fine too. Some of those people are going to be back. We've talked about this before with all these talent releases. Some of these people are going to be back. Like for whatever reason, now's not the time.
The Road Dogg wrestled at WrestleMania 30, which wasn't that long ago. Literally, and so did Billy Gunn. He's going AEW. He's going to be part of the Gunn Club with Billy and his sons, the Gunn Sons.
Yep.
You're welcome. You can take that AEW, the Gunn Sons. There you go. Samoa Joe will probably, unless he works, he might be part of the new Ring of Honor. He might work in Japan. He might go to AEW as well. And Samoa Joe's over 40. I wouldn't blame him for going and wasting his time at AEW because of the paycheck. William Regal, AEW is probably going to try to hire William Regal because as much as I don't want to see him there, it's going to be a paycheck. It's going to be an easy job. They don't use agents. They should. It's stupid that they don't. They've proven time and time again, there's no adult in the room. And Samoa Joe and William Regal, they get it, and they'd be huge assets there if allowed to be huge assets. That's a big caveat that I have to give. Like Cody Rhodes will sit there in interviews and talk about how big of an asset Mark Henry is. And I'm like, is he really? Are you allowing him to really be a big asset? Because he could probably be a bigger asset. Some people listening are like, Mark Henry? So the AEW? I don't even remember that. Because you never see him. But it's they have their YouTube shows and all of that. But yeah, all the releases and everything happened. What I want to talk about is this report that came out today. The label Backstage News on changes in the NXT creative team. And obviously talks about everybody who was released and all that stuff and giving them props.
I saw a name.
You saw a name?
I just on my Twitter feed, so go ahead.
What name did you see?
I want to hear what you say and then find out.
Okay, no problem.
If we're on the same page. I just want to see if we're on the same page.
Gotcha. It says the team will basically work under Bruce Pritchard. And
Bruce Pritchard was the name I heard.
Yeah, and Christine Lebrano, who I've never heard of before today. All decisions will be reported to them. WWE looking to streamline the operation, blah, 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 blah. Then here's the best part about it. Johnny Russo, no relation to Vince Russo, will be heading up NXT's writing team, working under Pritchard. He originally joined WWE in fall of 2011, has been involved in the main roster from 2015 to 2018, and was working with NXT since August of 2019. So it's not like he's this brand new person they threw over there. He's been there for 2.5 years in NXT writing for the
product. Who is this guy, Greg? Who is it?
No idea, but he's been there for 10 years with the company and with NXT for a really long time. Okay. We also have, and not only that, Russo's been working as the head writer for the show since July of 2020, before the change to NXT 2.0. So people are all upset about this. Dewey Foley, Mick Foley's kid, has been working there and will remain on the show and has been a big part of 205 Live as well. And Anthony Golden Jr., don't know who that is, will also be on the creative team. And he's been there since March of 2020. It's not like they suddenly put all these brand new people in place. These people have been there. You know what this tells me? They might have had too many people doing this.
Right.
And yeah, the ones they picked were Triple H's team.
As if when Nick Khan said, make some decisions here, they made some decisions there.
Now, look, it's fun to speculate, but sometimes that speculation can be true. Of course this is upsetting Triple H. If you hired 10 people and they fired 9 of them while you were gone, you'd be upset too, like anybody would be. Like, it's silly not to think so. And he's
not going to let Vince see the grandkids. That's all.
Yeah, right. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's just so much, and Triple H just has to deal
Christmas was really awkward. Christmas was just really awkward.
And it will continue to be in the future. Let's go to our second commercial break, and then let's have some fun.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, Patrick O'Dowd, the moment you've been waiting for. MLW has filed suit against the WWE. Now, here's the thing, right? I get the MLW press releases. They sent it out as a press release, okay? And I'm going to read it to you, and we're going to have some fun. Before I do, just a quick reminder of where I'm at with this, because it's very important to remember. All right, look, I'm even going to remember to turn the sound back up. All right. San Francisco, California. I didn't even know you had to get there. July 11th. Pro Wrestling Company, Major League Wrestling, MLW Media, LLC, filed lawsuit today against World Wrestling Entertainment, Inc., WWE. As described in the complaint, I'm skipping around. WWE pressured third parties to abandon contracts and prospective relationships with MLW. WWE's misconduct included disrupting every level of MLW's business, including a major streaming deal for MLW, which would have been transformative for the company. MLW also alleged in the complaint that in early 2021, after MLW announced that it was in talks with Vice TV to air MLW programs on Vice TV, a then WWE executive warned Vice TV that WWE owner Vince McMahon was quote unquote pissed that Vice TV was airing MLW programs and that Vice TV should stop working with MLW. The Vice TV executive responded that WWE's conduct was illegal and an antitrust violation, with the WWE executive responding that she could not control McMahon. Then there's a quote from MLW CEO Court Bauer, by the way, used to work for WWE. WWE has been wrongfully depriving its competitors of critical opportunities for many years, but its latest conduct has been even more unconscionable. Legalese always uses that word, Patrick O'Dowd, unconscionable.
I love unconscionable. It's a good word.
I think we speak for the rest of the professional wrestling world when we say that this anti-competitive behavior has to stop.
It will not stand, Greg.
The press release continues, WWE's ongoing misconduct has hurt fans of professional wrestling and competition in the professional wrestling industry. Through this lawsuit, MLW seeks to recover its losses due to WWE's interference and to enjoin WWE from future interference. So there you go, Patrick O'Dowd. There's the details of the lawsuit that I was alluding to, that I found out about earlier. And WWE, as I found when I was going back and looking for the Bruce Prichard news, has actually already responded to said lawsuit. And I'm going to find the information that I'm referring to. And so here we go. MLW files lawsuit, and the very next is WWE's respond. As noted, blah, blah, blah. In an update, WWE provided the following statement in response to MLW's loss. This is why I love WWE. WWE believes these claims have no merit and intends to vigorously defend itself against them.
Of course they do. They still got Jerry McDivitt.
Exactly what I was about to say. Keeping Jerry
then you lose.
Busy. And here's the thing. Like, MLW's deal was with 2B TV. Because Lucha Underground's on 2B right now. Do you know who owns 2B?
No.
Fox owns 2B.
Well,
and,
there you go.
And what they're saying, and this is reported by Chuck Carroll of CBS Sports, that it says, and it says that it was Stephanie McMahon who ended MLW's deal, even though the release from MLW says the person doesn't work there anymore. So again, wrestling news, Patrick O'Dowd.
It was Eric Bischoff.
Already going sideways. Now we've got one source saying it was Stephanie McMahon, but the original source saying the person no longer works there. Last I checked, Stephanie still works there. So in the article, calls her WWE chief brand officer.
Word on the street is, anyway.
McMahon allegedly threatened that Fox could lose WWE's business or preferred content if 2B did not acquiesce to WWE's demand. MLW received a letter that the deal was terminated the night before they planned to announce it publicly as a result of WWE's pressure and interference. First of all, it may not have been WWE's pressure and interference. They just might have no compete stuff in their contract with Fox.
Right.
Right. And Fox might have a deal with WWE where they can't air, you know, content during, you know, certain events that are on TV on Fox. If Fox had Sunday Night Football, WWE pay-per-views might not be on Sunday nights.
Right.
Like, it's just business. It was probably in the contract and that's just the way it is, and the crap that people have to deal with. You know, in 2017, we were going to run a PHX wrestling show at a place called the Crescent Ballroom here in Phoenix, and we had the whole thing worked out. And the day before tickets went on sale, they were like, we can't do it because the owner promised another guy they'd be the only people that could ever run wrestling shows there.
Right.
That was the whole reason. And you know what? They've only run like two there since, and it's 5 years later. And that's what would happen. But it's just the way it is. There's nothing I can do about it. I didn't issue a statement that so-and-so is meddling in our business. It's just dumb. Okay. Here's why.
This is coming from a promoter, everybody. Don't forget, Greg DeMarco is a promoter.
Yes, I am. Here's why they're a bunch of clowns.
Acknowledge me.
Okay. I've alluded to it before. I'm in some Facebook groups that are heavily entrenched in the wrestling business. And I'm not going to name names because I don't know if this person has never told the story publicly outside of the group. So I'm leaving it there. But a friend of mine used to own a production company. Audio video production company, filming, you know, video boards, producing, whatever. He was also in the wrestling business, so he did the wrestling side too. And they were contracted to film and produce content for MLW. And they did one event with MLW. And then MLW was like, yeah, we're not going to do any more events with you. Meanwhile, MLW went and hired every single camera person, every single video board operator, everybody that he was using directly, and just brought him into MLW and stole his team that he was using for themselves. And eventually, because they what they lacked was the infrastructure to run this, had to end up using an outside company for their production anyway in the future. But literally stole his own business out from under him to make it cheaper on themselves to do that. Bunch of clowns.
Bunch of clowns.
Bunch of clowns. It's a carny business that they're in. MLW is as carny as anybody else. And why do we love them? I'm sure people are going nuts. I haven't even read the comments. I wouldn't be surprised if some people are like, this is stupid. Because it's not WWE. Oh, yeah. That's it. That's totally it.
No, I hear you.
If the shoe was reversed, if the shoe was reversed, listen to me. If this whole thing was reversed And it was, imagine, oh my God, imagine if MLW was suing AEW alleging this stuff. Like, what would the response be?
Oh, dude. That'd be so, like, the internet would be on fire. Meltzer would have a month and a half worth of material just every day. Repeating the same, like everybody would lose their heads. Everybody would lose their shit about how stupid the WWE was being and how they were just, you know, basically doing what MLW is accusing them of doing, like squeezing them out.
Right.
So, yeah, I sent you a couple of DMs. One, because I haven't sent you Mandy Rose pictures in a while. I sent you some Mandy Rose pictures. But then I sent you this tweet that was just, a statement about the lawsuit for the WWE, and they posted a picture of LeBron James and put McDivitt's name underneath it. It's a pretty good, like, intense stare.
Let me go find it.
I just finished watching the season finale of Dark Side of the Ring, actually about a week or so ago. And McDivitt, it was about the steroid trials, and they got McDivitt and he interviewed with him, and I've always just heard about this guy, but watching him in an hour, I was like, okay, I get why everybody's scared shitless of him. He's going to chew that lawsuit up for breakfast. Like, and he's not even going to think, like, he was so matter of fact on that Dark Side of the Ring, like, thing about, like, they didn't have a case, and I proved that they didn't have a case, and here's how I did it. And they had nothing. And when they had nothing, everybody, like, they looked stupid. So it was just, yeah, that dude don't play, and the McMahons, they know they've got their ace, and it's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. Even if it settles out of
court. I want to work for Jerry McDivitt.
Even if it settles out of court and MLW gets some money, whatever. Here, I'm reading through the comments, and this is what I love what this one person actually said. With the revelations that the streaming service is owned by Fox, it's entirely possible that even if Stephanie McMahon did pressure Fox into ending a deal with MLW, the WWE could possibly be within their legal rights to do so. If I remember correctly, the deal with Fox did include a streaming clause. It's entirely possible that the clause also includes exclusivity stipulations, leaving WWE programming as the exclusive wrestling content on all Fox platforms, including streaming. So even if Fox does not exercise those streaming rights, Fox and its subsidiaries, including Tubi, are shit out of luck when it comes to attempting to land a deal with another wrestling promotion. And then somebody says, while Tubi is owned by Fox, it's technically an independent company. It's owned by Fox. It's owned by Fox. Like, it's just, yeah. It's just, yeah. I love this. Kids want WWE to lose this legal battle. Adults want WWE to win the battle. Legends want Tony Khan to comment on this battle.
Oh, please do, Tony Khan. Good. Just so keep good. Tweeting. Keep Don't tweeting. Really Everybody Tony's who has away. Anything to do with AEW, please keep tweeting so that Greg can keep playing the clown music, because and defenders of AEW, keep defending your guys, because you're clowns too. Like,
oh, yeah.
the amount of somersaults, I'm going to change the topic. The amount of cartwheels and somersaults and flips and just bending over backwards people have done to defend Kenny Omega, an executive at AEW. Oh,
speaking of clowns. Oh my goodness. Yes, Patrick, like, continue.
I don't care if your executive title is an in-name only thing that is an ego stroke because you want to feel special. You are listed as an executive for a wrestling company. And you don't do what Kenny Omega did on Twitter. There's just no defending it. That's your leadership.
And he literally called a guy who's carrying his daughter a pedophile. A
pedophile. Like, what the fuck? And people are like, oh, we make mistakes. No.
We make mistakes. And you know, I want to go out like, I want to use the phrase that I always use. If a WWE executive were to blank, but that would never, ever, ever, ever happen.
Right.
Because they're not that stupid.
But well, and it's just, it's reflective of the leadership. And, you know, when you have Tony Khan being the jackass that he is, because he's a petulant kid with a shit ton of money that can just blow it and it doesn't fucking matter.
He's a brick.
He can say dumb shit and it's fine. And then the rest of the company, like, you're not edgy. You look like clowns. Like, that's it. You're not edgy. You're not cool. You're not taking on the man. You're not showing people up. You're a clown.
This is my yard now.
Yeah, it's just, it's Bush League. It really is. And they prove themselves. This is why they'll always be number two. This is why they will never overtake WWE. And here's the point I've made on multiple platforms. I literally think I've made this point on all three platforms. This is why WWE literally has social media training for their people.
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory social media training that you have to go through for this very reason. Because the training should be very easy. The training should be three words long. Don't be stupid. The problem is people are innately stupid and need to be defined what stupid is. Well,
absolutely.
Now all they got to do is show a screenshot of what stupid is. And everyone will fall beneath that threshold.
When I'm sitting here looking at the Young Bucks as the voice of reason.
Are they really? Did they say something about that?
No. They just the way they approach their social media, they're stupid in a different way, and it's less damaging. Like, it's, you know, they just, I don't know. It's just, it's so beyond me. And here's the thing. I still don't get the damn product. Like, I still watch it, and I don't get it. Like, I actually watched Battle of the Belts. I was like, I'll check this out, see what the deal is. And again, every time I watch it, it's fine. It's fine. We're going nuts for Dustin Rhodes because he's, you know, 50 some years old and working a 30-minute match, which is great.
Yeah. And did a hell of a job and should have been in that match. Did a hell of a job. Let's transition to that, because you brought up a question about that, because the Kenny Omega thing is stupid anyway. And
yeah.
The MLW thing is stupid anyway.
You want to talk about my belt question?
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out.
Did I go to the second commercial?
We did a second commercial.
I did? Okay, I just don't remember. I didn't write the time down, but I thought we did. Yeah.
Yes, we did do two.
We had the countdown. We had, yeah.
Yeah, we got so wrapped up in clown music that we got lost. We got lost, Greg.
I don't know if I played the second commercial.
Well, play a third commercial and then nobody's heard.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. Everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
You just made the list.
So I just was remembered when you did this out of like times where Miranda would do the buzzer because she was in Tucson, her internet was so bad, like it wouldn't even come through. And we'd be like, you forgot to do the buzzer. And she's like, I swear to God, I did it. But she wasn't even on video because her internet was so bad.
Right.
My
good times. Those were the days.
Those were the days.
We've come a long way, Greg.
Of misery. Okay. So you asked me a question today regarding the interim TNT championship. So I will let you phrase the question how you see fit for our wonderful listeners.
Well, so as I was watching Battle of the Belts, and admittedly was watching it late, and I'm a guy who's wandering in like a child halfway through a movie, I get that. But I'm watching this match, and Ross and Shivani and what's the other guy's name?
I don't even know who was on the call for Excalibur. That, but I'm guessing it was Excalibur.
I think it was Excalibur. That's what it was. They were calling it the interim TNT title, and I'm like, okay, what the hell does that mean? Like, I was like, what does that mean? And then they kept talking about how the title had been vacated, but that it wasn't vacated because like Cody was still a champ. And that, you know, he would face the winner of this whenever he comes back. And so I finally was like, what does this, I just asked you, like, what does this mean? Like, what are they talking about here? And you basically were like, you know, it's just, they're not calling it a vacant title because the WWE calls it a vacant title. And right. I was like, but they're using both. And you were like, ah, that's just people slipping in an old language. And when you explained it to it, it actually made a, like, it makes sense. Like, I understand what they're saying. It still left me with more questions.
Right.
Like when Cody comes back,
which could be Wednesday. I mean, it's not, right. He's got COVID. Like, you're not going to be out for months unless it's Cody who overdramatizes everything. Like, right. You missed last week's show because you have COVID. You went to work yesterday. Like,
right. And so my question was, okay, so is he coming back to challenge for his belt? Is it considered a unification match? And whoever wins is the champion out of that?
There's a lot of questions.
Is it, yeah. Like, what happens?
So here's what usually happens. This is done in boxing. It's more prevalent in terms of the people listening. It happens in the UFC, okay? Champion fights. Champion has defenses or whatever. Champion gets hurt. Champion can't defend said title. So Dana White will put on a fight to crown a new champion. And they'll call it the interim champion because the other champion still exists out there, not being stripped of his title. Now, there was one instance where the champion like took like 2 years and never came back. And then we're finally like, yeah, you're not the champion anymore. The interim champion's now the champion. But basically what would happen is when the champion can come back, they fight. And the winner is then the undisputed champion is usually how that works.
Okay.
Undisputed champion, Patrick O'Dowd, because that's what we need. We need the undisputed.
We need Cody Rhodes to be an undisputed champion.
Yeah, probably.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman, and I serve as the advocate for the reigning, defending, undisputed.
Acknowledge me.
So yeah, so this is what we do. I have long opined, as I told you today, I actually think wrestling should have been doing this all along. Like, instead of stripping somebody of a title and making it vacant, let them go heal up, create an interim championship, because then you do have that match down the road of, you know, of the champion versus the champion. And I do think this is something that I like what AEW is doing here better than what wrestling normally does. And I'm willing to give them credit for it. Does that mean Cody's just going to win? Yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised because they could have vacated it, given it to Sammy Guevara. Then when Cody beats Sammy Guevara, he's now a four-time TNT champion, which he won't be in this case. But I've always thought the interim, and they probably thought this from the beginning. They're like, if somebody ever gets hurt and can't wrestle, we'll make him an interim champion. I've always liked it. Always thought interim was the way to go, and it's something that they should have done all along. I mean, it's better than having Asuka win Money in the Bank and, oh, the title's inside the briefcase. Like, really looking back on it, I mean, great. Becky had a kid. Asuka's a mom that no one really knows about. Like, yeah, it's cool. I'm down. But at the end of the day, I do prefer the interim championship, and you just come back and you have them. I'm trying to remember if there has been an occurrence, and I could ask some people that would know, if the UFC has ever had the interim champion defend once and the returning champion actually have a defense and then the two fight each other. I need to ask Mags because he would know. But I just think the interim champion in this scripted world of sports entertainment, I actually think you could tell a great story with it. Maybe where if the interim champion's a heel, or if either whichever one of the champions is a heel, they're even refusing to have the match. Because the original champion's like, you're a crap champion. Like, you never beat me. I still have this belt. The interim champion's like, you were gone. Like, I'm the real champion. Like, you could literally stretch something like that out, have them both be defending the same damn title. Like, it's good storytelling, in my opinion. Some people would love it. Some people would hate it. I actually really like the thought of that. And if an ICW champion ever gets hurt, here we go, right? We're going to have an interim champion. And we're going to tell stories with it. But
breaking news, everybody.
Yeah, right. Pulling back the curtain too far again. But yeah, I like it. I think it's great. I think it's smart. And I'm totally down with AEW doing this. I'm much more into whatever this turns out than I am with A&W Root Beer Company hiring Danhausen. So I am completely on board.
Oh, I thought that was funny.
It actually is funny. And
I was like, I'm very amused by him.
Yeah, and you're amused housing or whatever. Everything ends in housing with them. Yes. And he's over. Look, he's over. Dude's got a following. He could be their next Orange Cassidy if they play their cards right. If he's even being signed by them, who the hell knows? I don't know. He didn't show up in Impact with everybody else, so maybe he is. I don't know. Yeah, that's where we're at with the interim champion. I actually like it. What can I say?
No, yeah, I actually, once I understood what they were doing, like it makes sense. I actually think that having, you know, two members of your announce team be a little befuddled as to how the whole thing works.
Well, because they're the stumbling over their own words, old men. Like,
right.
No offense. Yeah. And I'm not, it's not going to be the first person to ever say this, but like Jim Ross shouldn't be calling wrestling matches. Use them for video packages. I'm really
do interviews. Do the interviews.
That's what Tony Schiavone does a lot of the time. Like we're a little too big on nostalgia sometimes. Like kudos to Impact Wrestling for hiring Tom Hannifin, the former Tom Phillips. Like, and he shows up and he immediately looks like a badass. Like good on them for doing that. While I'm sad that Matt Stryker's gone, I think two probably could have worked together very well. It is what it is. I think it's great that Tom Phillips has an opportunity and has that role. And I thought he was great in WWE as an announcer. Not that the current announcing team in WWE is fantastic. Like on all the shows. Well, I don't know who's even doing 205 Live, but Cole and Pat McAfee, money. Jimmy Smith, like no one even talks about Jimmy Smith on Raw because it's like he's been there for, you know, way longer than he has been. Like Adnan Virk, no one even remembers that Adnan Virk spent 6 weeks working in WWE and Jimmy Smith was hired at the same time.
It goes back to that old argument I make a lot of times. If you don't know they're there, they're doing their job properly.
The thing about Jimmy Smith, 10 years from now, we're going to be like, this dude's been here for 10 years. Like he's going to be a Hall of Famer probably.
Turn around and Michael Cole's been here forever.
Yeah, like Cole's going to be out. Cole will be out of the booth before Jimmy Smith. That's for sure. Like Jimmy Smith's going to be there for a long ass time. And what he does, like Corey Graves is literally one of the best color commentators there is. I know you have personal jealousy, Patrick Dowd. I get that.
He shot a shot and made it. So
he sure did. Even Vic Joseph and Wade Phillips are fantastic on NXT. Beth Phoenix was great on there too. Like their announce teams are, and people are going to hate this comment too. Far and away better than AEW's. Like just far and away better than AEW's. AEW's is like that's old dudes clinging on, like old whites just clinging on to their jobs.
It's nostalgia. It's nostalgia colored glasses.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is I love listening to this guy's podcast and I love listening to his stories. But between the two of them, like if I had to get rid of one, it'd be Ross.
Oh yeah.
He's lost a step.
And God bless Excalibur for holding those guys together. Still he'd never get a job in WWE because he insists on wearing the mask. But and dude will probably end up there someday. Like he's damn good. He's terrific. You know, I always forget the guy's name, but.
But while you're looking that up, I'll go back to just even watching that Sammy Guevara, Dustin Rhodes match. It was very distracting with just how, like, Tony, and I'm going to pick on Tony here. The number of times I heard Tony say, well, you could win the title with a count out. Was like, it was just like, stop,
just because it was a, you know, like, basically stop. A vacant title.
Right. And then Jim Ross doing the most Jim Ross thing ever. Well, I don't want it to end that way. Okay.
Right.
It just, I don't know. And maybe I'm just grouchy about AEW in general, but it seems like it's one of those things. Honestly, Greg, I feel like it could be better and it just won't get better.
That's why. Remember, I used to complain about TNA. Impact. More than WWE because they had the potential to be so much better. And WWE was coming far closer to meeting their potential than Impact Wrestling was. And I feel like, because here's the thing, right? We talk about our playlists. Here's some bonus coverage, but I didn't even tweet this. I didn't even write this. I thought about both of them and I didn't. Yeah, Dustin Rhodes looked great and worked a match against Sammy Guevara or anything. Who's number one in their rankings right now? shouldn't he have been immediately inserted into the match? Like, if your rankings are so important, you would think you'd have your number one wrestler wrestle the former champion to be interim champion. Then you can get to Cody versus Adam Cole down the road, which is a fresh, exciting matchup. And we don't do it because reasons, because we got to put Dustin out there. And no offense, Dustin did a great job.
Yeah.
But you just missed the mark. And I haven't even talked about this. I want to at some point because I think Adam Cole is in the right place for Adam Cole right now. Like, I really do. And I think Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly are as well. Yeah. Like, people are like, oh, Fish, you know, Cole and O'Reilly are back together. I've seen it before, whatever. And I see it, and I'm like, no brainer. They should be back together. The Paragon, which is what they're going to be called, right. I think is a great name. I think it's going to be over. And it's just sometimes go with the obvious. And here, right. The obvious works. So, anyway, that is going to do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show.
Extended edition
when you only have to record one show. It's funny. We record longer. I still finish earlier. It's amazing how it all works out sometimes. So we do thank you for listening.
I got a basketball game to finish, though.
So. See, there you go. We do thank you for listening. Of course, this show is part of the ChairShot.com and the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can find online at or on social media at ChairShot Media.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Go out there, tell a friend about us, like, subscribe, leave a 5-star review, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, so many more. Check out the articles. When you're listening to this, it is Wednesday. Tune in for later today. I'll get something up in place of the hashtag Miranda Show. Thursday, of course, we've got all kinds of great content. We've got the three-man weave that comes up on Thursdays. We've got Badlands that comes up in Wrestling's What If that comes up on Thursdays. We should have this week the return of Pot is War. So just got a lot of great things going on here at the Chair Shot Radio Network. Of course, you got the Bandwagon Nerds, the Hockey Talk. I mean, we do it all here at the Chair Shot Radio Network, and we invite you to be a part of that. And thank you for being a part of it, for listening and following along. We appreciate that so much. Follow me on social media at Chair Shot Greg. Follow Patrick O'Dowd on social media at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. And I feel like I can only do it one more time, so I got to do it. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist, and there is one in Patrick, and there is one in COVID. For the COVID cowboy, the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick, I can't do it anymore. You're over the COVID. You beat the Rona. 1-9 came
it's
rolling
true.
Through.
And you took full advantage of my isolation. Got me on 4 podcasts.
I didn't even get you
I did
on
four
one. Pod,
I, did,
I didn't volunteer you for yeah. DWI. Okay. First of all, I volunteered you for the IWC, but not for DWI.
I did 4 podcasts in 48 hours.
Two of which you would normally have done. Let's just be clear.
I got asked while I was at work to leave work to do three-man weave and was like, dude, Tony admitted it too. I was like, dude, no, I'm at work. I really can't, man.
That's awesome.
I was just working from home. So I almost did fine. Because I did try to get on it in the back end. And he was like, no, we recorded this afternoon. So, yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah, we'll be back to your regular dosage of the realists. Come next week,
which is still like 4 podcasts. So yeah, it's still
2 podcasts.
It's 3.
3 podcasts.
It's 3. Yes, it is 3. So awesome. We appreciate that. We're glad you are better and over the COVID and back at work, back in the saddle, and hopefully everybody in the house is over the COVID, because that's no fun either. Shaking his head no. They will be soon. Is it how many are currently over the COVID and how many are under the COVID? You're the only one that's over the COVID.
Yes. Well, the rest of the family developed the symptoms of the COVID later in the week, right, like over the weekend. So we just got the little O'Dowd's confirmed positive test this week.
Okay. So it's got the son has the COVID, the wife has the COVID. He doesn't even have a dog, but if he did, the dog would have the COVID. And yeah,
I am a plague bearer.
So you're still in isolation just for yourself now to keep from the other ones?
No, according to the CDC.
Oh yeah,
once,
you're good.
Once you've had it,
you're an immune cord.
Yeah, you don't have to re-isolate.
Yeah, because so you got 90 good. Days now. You're good. Yeah, you got the 90 day. You're in that 90 day magic window. You're an immune cord, right. As they say. So you're good. So enjoy it. Go out there and lick toilet seats and do whatever people are doing to try to.
Yes, get COVID. That's truly the responsible thing to do.
Well, yeah, you did get COVID.
Can you just play Sheamus and get us out of here, man? Let's. What are we doing here?
Why would I play Sheamus?
It's a shameful thing. That's true.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Enjoy. This is really good.
This is really good. It's the best.
I mean, some people are going to have nightmares and they're already tuning out. Still really good.
That's true. After they listen to this, they need to go watch all the Matt Mullen footage they can find.
I'm really sad I couldn't find the Triple H "You Didn't Get What You Wanted" promo to play on the show.
So, oh, that would have been good.
Would have been fantastic. But no. This goes on for a long time.
It's a long ass theme song.
It's only been like a minute, too. It's got 2.5 more minutes left to go. But, yeah.
It's old school WWE themes.
We won't do that.
Fade it out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.